Here's my idea for a good sledding hill.
Which one?
This is, we don't do it, this is what you should do. They should cordon off Center Street. Get the kids out of the side. And if it really snows, then you should, then Center Street's the best hill in Vienna. We'll just bring whole town to
you.
Well, take a snow
you did that.
And it, yes, when we were little. Yes.
It was in 96. And when you did that, you did it. And it was like, I just remember, I mean, I was young, but like,
I remember. It was like a toboggan.
Yeah.
There was like 3 feet of snow, and I cut
it. It was like cool running.
A toboggan.
Yeah.
So we ran down the toboggan ride the whole way.
It was so fun. I remember that. And then we go to Sledding Hill, which is now Sledding Hill for a reason. Which was awesome.
And then we found a hilly place.
Oh, there's some good ones. I mean, we went to Wolf Trap last year. And
it was
awesome. Except you get down, and then all of a sudden you look at the hill, and you're like, oh, man, I don't want to get that hill to get me up. And then by the time you get up.
But you can drive from the bottom and drive around back up to the top if you really wanted to. It's lazy as shit.
That way, you want to hear that? We just put ropes to the back of the buggy, and he just drives him through the neighborhood.
Oh, that's fine. Grand.
Yeah. I want to get snowed in over
here. The kids are going sideways.
See in the videos? Yeah, we get the sleds, and we tie them to the back of the side-by-side, and we just cruise through the neighborhood side-by-side.
Well, I wish I was Cody's kid. You guys have the munch club.
A lot of fun stuff. I mean, the kids, I was watching. Remember, I was in Kelly's kitchen one time, and we're, like, talking, and Wyatt, like, drives by on a tractor, and I'm like...
He was seven!
Or maybe one of them, but I'm like, is that your four-year-old out there?
No, she was driving the golf cart by herself.
Yeah.
And she was driving the John Deere.
Yeah, that's what Morgan. I forgot.
A dirt bike.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of crazy.
What are you doing with your chicken?
They don't get outlets.
I don't know. What about like a cardinal?
How do you think they invented frozen chicken legs?
They don't have heated nests.
Freeze their ass up, man.
I don't know. It's stressing me out. They'll bring them in the house. Yeah, I tried that. Vern told me that she's putting hers in the garage. I said that to Cody. He said, absolutely not. There's no way.
All right, Callie, we learned our lesson about putting frogs in the garage. Please don't put your chickens in there. You come out and it's just skin and
skin and feathers.
Cody will not let me put the chickens anywhere in the house, near the house. They're staying outside.
Wow.
I've got some shower curtains. I'm gonna make a little area for them that
little
will not get snowed.
Little kitten mittens.
Don't you want it?
Look, I did not raise my children to be farmhands. I mean, we're totally chicken guys, man.
Yeah, chicken. I don't know. Maybe little socks on their on the dust.
You just Google it before you leave your chickens out with the snow. Like you're like talking to your chickens. You're like, I love you guys, but I didn't prepare for this. So
we're kind of. I mean, time's ticking. I just tried to order a thermal blanket offline, and it's gonna be on Sunday. Well, clearly that's not gonna work. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
If you decide you're not gonna make it, and you have a chicken fry or something like that thing on Sunday.
By the time this airs, they will already have gone through it. So we're gonna do an update as we let the clip go.
Really, there's nothing. The main problem has been solved. Okay, they were gonna take. This is the high school districts were changing. And they were going to take all the kids in Vienna that go to Madison and send them to Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Around Westwood Country Club and all those, they're all going to get shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, and as you go down Beale Road, all the people that were going to Marshall, they were all going to Madison too. So everybody would, so the Madison kids were going to Marshall and the Marshall kids were going to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So, the people going to Madison weren't bitching. The people going to Marshall from Madison raised holy hell.
Well, of course. I mean, right there. I mean, just
it's a town of Vienna school.
You know, it's like I thought it was a great school. Yeah. I loved it.
It's been a good time.
Not saying Marshall.
It's just getting trashed, man.
Not saying Marshall's a bad. What's it like, man? But sometimes, you know, if you're in the town of Vienna, you know, there tends to be more of a community feel around Madison. That's just what people want. And
just not even talking about a preference, but when it comes to home values, what that's going to do to your home value. You were once Madison, and then all of a sudden now you're Marshall. That can be.
So we're realtors, so I monitor what is the cost of a Marshall home that's right across the street from a Madison home and see what the difference in the school districts are, right? So it does come out to about $100,000 if a home is in Marshall School District versus Madison School District. So does it affect home values if they take your home out of one district and put it into another one? Yes.
Yes.
They had years back, they took some from Langley High School and went to South Lakes.
Oh, Herndon.
South Lakes and Herndon.
We're just at a listing of women, and I mean, their old house, half their neighborhood, they went from literally Langley to Herndon. Yeah. I mean,
a lot of them went from Madison to Herndon down Grail Road, Brownsville.
Well, that's South Lakes, not a South Lakes.
Sorry, yeah.
And that had about a $300,000 effect on those homes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even elementary schools, if you're in an average elementary school, let's just pick one, Flint Hill. Is like a customary value of Vienna.
Average elementary school.
Yes. I didn't want you to be. I didn't want you to be prima donna. So you went to Flint Hill, middle of the road, right? So then you have Vienna Elementary will sell at a 10% premium over somebody who goes to another school that's not a preferred school, that's graded poorly on GradeSchools.com. So. A $1 million house in a Vienna Elementary would go for $900,000 in the other school district. So, you know, is there effect? Yes, there is effect. When young people move from Arlington into Vienna or wherever they're moving, sometimes if their kids are just born or one or two, they're not really thinking yet about schools. And there is a big difference, you know? So,
I mean, yeah, that's how we feel where we're now all of a sudden we're coming up on elementary and we're, you know, we're
just West
Friar. So, you know, not anything against it, but I want my kids to be our kids, sorry. Our kids too. Our babies.
All right, I'll be going to the show on Saturday there.
Yeah.
They're your kids.
No. But I like we would like for them, you know, to be if they're a wolf trap, then go to Thoreau, you know, Madison. I don't want to like have them moving all around.
The whole reason for this reshaping was to try and get everybody that goes to an elementary school go to the same intermediate and the same
high school. I think that's so good though, because I have friends who, you know, you go from the elementary school and then some go to Kilmer, some go to Thoreau, and then all of a sudden you're at Kilmer with all your friends and now you go to Madison and now you're the odd one out. All your friends are going somewhere because those
that's
are
what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep the whole class together wherever they're going.
I think that's important.
Well, it is important unless you're a group that's going to Madison High School.
I know.
And they want to move you out of Madison High School.
I think for the kids' mental health, it's like this. Less.
I agree. All the cool guys got to go to Thoreau, and we went to Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
But
you had to come with
me I went too. To Kilmer.
I went to Kilmer.
And
Lowe's.
And we had Pimpin Hills there, and it was a show.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
And that's a story for all fair.
But all the cool guys got to go to Thoreau, and that pissed me off. But I did go to Madison, so we're all the cool guys to go.
Mm-hmm. He's like, then I beat him up.
No, it was very educational at Ed Kilmer, I can tell you that. I saw a different side of the world.
Had a lot of teachers.
Well, I'm from a family of four boys. We don't know anything about girls. We know nothing. We know baseball, football, basketball. We knew nothing about girls. If you go to Kilmer, those girls will teach you about girls.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, we're just like, oh, what's going on over here? You know, I was very innocent.
Should have come to Marshall.
No, thanks. I got all the education I need in Kilmer. Oh, my God. I went to Kilmer like this. Oh, my God. Anyway,
middle school.
Yeah.
I know. Elephant school. Yeah.
But anyways, the thing about coming back to schools is hopefully cut all that out. They're trying to keep kids elementary, same intermediate, and same high school. And that did not really work out for the one section of Vienna. They're all going to Madison.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, I guess, you know.
Well, so Madison is now going to be 93% of capacity. Marshall's 91% capacity, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They brought medicine all the way down to the toll road. So everything can heal all the way to the toll road.
And we're right across.
We are.
Yeah.
Hit a sandwich and be in Madison. And I'm not.
Yeah, Madison is going to. Madison football will benefit from that.
I know.
Yeah, that's shit.
Sports.
Sports can be big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else we got out of schools? So that vote is tonight, right? We'll find out what happens. But I think it's already been made now that they made that big change in the background.
So it's happening.
Well, there's one last public hearing. At 6:15, they're giving people one last say, and then they're deciding afterwards.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of pushback.
It's been said. Yeah. It's the vocal group. Yeah, if you drove down Courthouse Road, you saw signs saying, abort the transfer and all that stuff. So the words are out. It's done.
Yeah.
And they'll vote. Yep.
How many kids are they really? Could they just not send them to Madison, too? Like, that sucks. I would be really upset.
They are.
I would be very upset.
Kelly, they're taking.
Does not say RSVP in the Statue of Liberty. Just let them all
come.
I mean,
it does not say what?
It's probably so late. Let's quote. It's fine. Now they should all come. It's all right. So.
It does know RSVP on the statue.
I mean, just him. You know, going to Madison and then the thought of, like, having to go.
Yeah.
Somewhere else. Well, nobody wants to transfer to schools. Let me tell you something. People going to Marshall don't want to transfer to Madison.
Well, young boys just heard what Colby said. They're like, I'm good. Say the truth. I'm all in.
Are they going to let you finish out if you're already there?
I don't know.
I mean, if I'm a sophomore.
The answer is they really
are fucking junior.
Everybody should be grandfathered. Yeah. You should be grand. If you're in one school.
Or they might give you the option. Like, you can go if you want, but you have the option to stay.
They did that with Langley and McLean down Beulah Road at the one spot.
Yeah. Right. Especially when you play sports.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Okay. We're starting to get all the stats in from the first part of this year. And it looks like inventory is making a big rise in some areas. So the inventory is back about 35% over where it was last year at this time. And last year we had a good start.
Yeah.
And then we got hit with the tariffs and everything went back down. But we had a good start last year. This year we're 35% above that. So the inventory is coming out. The buyer pool is lagging behind it. Not really as strong. Mm-hmm. But you really got to watch where you're going. You know, what market you're in. Some are doing great, some are not. So you want to look at two things. You want to look at the inventory and you want to look at the sales that are going on, which means is the buyer pool coming back.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I found interesting, so we were looking at, a house that was in Vienna, and looking at pictures, we think that it was priced well, might have been a little high, but it wasn't prepped necessarily that well. So the functionality looked great, but I saw, there's yellow walls this or that. They got three offers on that. And I don't know what it ends up at. I mean, they might not have gotten as high of offers if they were to have, prepped it right, because obviously there was a little bit of a feeding frenzy, but what that tells us is, buyers are out and they want to move.
There's another one that looked good. They had eight offers.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. Three offers is probably on the low side of what they could have gotten. But normally, we say January 15th is when the spring really starts. But then it starts slowly but surely picking up. I feel like it all of a sudden was like, boom.
Gone.
We're out.
Our phones are ringing.
Well, you had a lot of people come out to your open house. 40?
Yeah, at least 40 groups.
And you had,
where was it?
In Sterling. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got four offers. I mean, we could have been more, but you got to cut it somewhere.
Yeah.
People are still showing on Sunday and Monday, and you just got to, no more. We're good.
But I'm surprised. And the thing about it is, it's not that you're going to sell it. It's how high you're going to go over that price. So if we put out for 1.6, really disappointed if I don't get 1.7. Mm-hmm. 1.7.
If we get three offers,
Don't prepare it, you're not getting 1.6. I want 1.7, and there's a lot of money at stake. So you really have to do that. I told everybody that if you think about this, we're watching the market. It's like looking for icebergs. You don't want to run aground and hit an iceberg. So you're looking at all the tendencies and make sure that you get your sellers through this maze. Well, 50% of the people that listed a house over 1.5 million. 50% after July 1 hit an iceberg and did not sell. or sold significantly lower than they should have, but most of them just didn't sell. Yeah. And the problem is, if you're out there freewheeling it, not looking at the market and understanding the market and pricing, you're going to smash in a knife bargain, you're on a wreck. Mm-hmm. So you really, you know, I know you guys hate it when I'm doing all these stats, but I've got to see, are there icebergs?
I don't know why I'm just like picturing him being like, icebergs, straight ahead. Well, we got to get out in front of it.
Iceberg! I'll put a patch on, you know, I'll sit up in the crow's head. But I'll tell you, and that's why at first there was this kind of suggestions, then it was protocols, and the more risky the market got, it's those are the commandments. Now you can't break them. And by the way, we remember how I used to say, it's your call, you do what you want. Well, if they hit an iceberg, I'm on this ship.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be on an iceberg. So when it really gets this treacherous like it is, and multiple, you know, 40 or 50% are not succeeding, it's like, look, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Our hands are on that steering wheel because we're not going to go, you know, let's go over there and smash into an iceberg.
Yeah.
So you really have to be very disciplined. And by the way, Jamie, that was such a great clip coming from Indiana's guy.
Well,
because I'll tell you why. Because that guy,
like, I think your dad's going to like it. I'm like, he liked it.
That guy's the epitome of what it's all about. He believes that football is a game of detail. And he's right. That's what he said all the time. It's a game of details. Selling real estate is a game of details. That guy has thought through everything and executed. And so it's the same thing. I mean, we're thinking through everything before it happens and then executing.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like we're sitting with a $3.5 million listing just now. Morgan and I just left. And I said, we're going to put it on Thursday. We're going to sell it Friday, Saturday. Sunday, I'll have multiple contracts. We'll sell it. It's going to come in somewhere around $3.75 million. Well, the average house in McLean, 65% of houses like that withdraw unsold. The ones that sell at 45 to 60 days. And I'm going, no problem. Mm-hmm. No problem. Because I look at the ones that fail and they list a $3.5 million house for $4 million. Of course it's going to fail.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guys kind of look at me like, are you sure about that? It's like, yeah. You watch. We'll put on $3.5 million and we'll get maybe $3.6 million, $3.7 million for it. And we'll get it in the first weekend. So it's just a function of once you stage it and once you priced it and you know your market and Julia does the marketing, it's going to be a show.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, it's great.
So that'll happen the first week of March. But mark my words that will not see the second week of March. It'll be out just like that.
No, it's great. And it's all about finding, obviously, like the unique characteristics. And then we target market, you know, who we think. We find the buyer, figure out who the buyer is.
Find a golfer.
And we'll call them. Oh, we'll be in the basement the whole time.
The ceilings are 12 feet tall. You ever been a house with 12 feet ceilings?
Massive.
It's 2 foot, yeah.
The basement is 10 foot high, which means, yes, it's got a full swing for a golf, what do you call it?
Simulator.
Golf simulator. Mm-hmm. You know, badass.
Yeah.
So massive. 3.5 million, it'll fly off the shelf.
10 feet in the basement, that's massive.
10
feet. It's huge.
Backswing.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to make more money by that house. That's a very, very nice house.
That's awesome. But, so one of the things that we were just talking about was, you know, obviously this will probably air after and we can see whether we get them as much snow or not, but the prediction of how much is it going to snow? Are we going to get that much? And then,
from 0 to 40 inches.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's me saying your house could sell anywhere from $1 million to $4 million. What kind of spread is that?
Easy job, man. Fair weather, man.
Yeah. So, something tells me it might snow.
Like I said, it's as useless as tits on a bowl. I am so tired of hearing these guys give us their predictions and then being wrong. And they canceled around and it rained for half hour, a little trickle.
They'll cancel school in Loudoun County for that.
Oh, my God. So, I mean,
Were
you just comparing that to?
Can I switch something over here?
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
The Economist. Yeah.
Oh.
That predicted the,
The Economist for the National Association of Realtors in 2006 said it's going to be a soft landing. In 2007, he says it'll be a soft landing. Prices are going to begin to increase. And by 2007, he said, well, the housing crash of 2000, that's our story. Well, if there's going to be a crash, then why didn't you say something in 2006, 2007?
You weren't looking for the iceberg.
Like I said, you weren't looking for an iceberg. It's the stupidest thing of all time. You guys may not have been in the market, but at that time, literally, if you were a ham sandwich, if you're a ham sandwich with a social security number, you could buy a house. You didn't have no doc loans, no income, no asset, no job, no. It, you didn't have to verify anything. And you could get, so I could have bought a house for a ham sandwich back in 2005. So all these people come in and start buying houses. They can't afford them, right? And their prices go running up. And then all of a sudden, that started to crash. And they said, okay, instead of no money down, by the way, the ham sandwich didn't have to put up any money down. 100% financing. So then they go, okay, we screwed up. Nobody can buy a house unless you have 20% down, solid credit. We checked everything. You got to have it. And all hell broke loose. The lending went from this to this. And when it went like that, the whole market crashed. And it went down 40%. The sales went down 40%. The price went down 40%. It was a nightmare. Nobody could, I don't know how business owners can run a business when that kind of a thing happens. That's why I sit in the crow's nest. Mm-hmm. Because I've been in those and I've seen those. Our housing price went like this, and I'm sitting in the crow's nest going, is this going to go like this? Is it? How is this going to go? Now, I'm not going to be this turd that sits up here. This is going to be a soft landing. I'm saying, all I know is we're 20% over where we should be, and now inventory comes back and it's going to start leveling off and getting down.
And that's so what a lot of people really can't, they can't stay up to speed on what is exactly going on in this moment in time right now. So it's like, can we say what we think? Anyone can say what they think, but we're telling you what's happening at this very moment. I mean, even when we're going to price homes, if they're going to put it on in a month, 2 months, we're saying this is what it, our, you know, model is telling us in this moment. But when we come back in a month or 2 months, it could go down, it could go up. Like, we have to look at it at the right time, you know?
So if inventory goes up, probably the blah, 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 they got to look at that house, go, who are our competitors? You've got three competitors, they're all overpriced by $300,000. There's no competition out right now. That's what I was telling them. Mm-hmm. Let's get this thing on tomorrow, because we don't have any competitors. And the people that are on there are just so overpriced, it's ridiculous.
But I was sorry to cut you off, but I was going to say, I think that is where a lot of people might go haywire, is they, you know, say a price and they don't realize market conditions changed. Inventory went up in this last week, you know, 2 weeks. They still stick on a price, and then that's how they get screwed.
Well,
because,
Morgan, the thing about it is somebody would go, well, the Jennings sold their house and got 1.2. My house is better than Jennings. I see a 1.3. It's like the Jennings house they've sold today is about 1.1. Or less. And you'll be lucky to get 115. So we're very lucky. You guys don't know how lucky we are. We are so lucky. We can prove prices and people believe us. When you have a good track record, people will believe us. So we don't have a problem.
Yeah.
The problem is a seller will bring in maybe an experienced realtor and go, well, Jennings sold for 1.2. I should get 1.3. Okay, we'll put it up for 1.3. And it doesn't sell.
I mean, that's why when, you know, we're going and putting in an offer how we did at the beginning of the year, and, you know, you don't want to offend anyone, but it's like, can you please explain to me how you got the price for the listing? Well, you know, one on the neighborhood sold 2.2, so, you know, it needs a little update, so we're going to just meet in the middle. It's like, that's the dumbest.
But the bottom line is, if, you know, I know why houses hit the bricks or hit the icebergs.
Yeah.
Exactly how they do it. They overprice like they have for the last 50 years, and the market won't accept it and smashes right into it. I want to watch this. It smashes right into a nice.
Well, I mean, we just had the situation with another house that they just called us back in to list, but they had tried to. They met with us and decided, very poor decision to go with someone else. Very bad idea. So, you know, we said if we price it at one thing, you know, you could get this number. Well, went with another realtor, put it at the number we said that you could get to. Sat, drop. You just told everyone you're not worth it. And then they had to rent it out. I mean, they're in a really, you know, bad situation because they did it wrong.
They would have gotten now, no doubt.
And it's an awesome house. And, you know, the sad thing about it is this is a very stressful, big, you know, why am I drawing it?
Talk to somebody. It's a nice part. That woman was going to go.
But that's what I was saying. It was a big, you know, asset that all of a sudden they have a lot of money in it and they're just losing it through the year. And now they have to rent it out. And it causes a lot of emotional distress, you know?
So, and financial distress. Well, and again, but let's just be clear on this. There are thresholds that buyers look at. $1 million, $1.25 million, $1.75 million, $1.75 million, $2 million. And if you go over that 1.5 threshold, there's not going to be a buyer pool sitting right over top of that.
Yeah.
You kind of stand there. That's where all the buyers are. And I don't know that he was a very experienced agent who took that over.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would put it and miss the whole market.
Casey Sampson said, it's maybe worth this. It's like, all right, well, shit, we're going with that number. But
Exactly.
But that's
not the sway. The strategy is not to price it at that number.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get out of the threshold. So it's sad. You know, we have to come in and talk to people. And it is very sad. They've lost $100,000 plus.
Yeah.
They've told the market they're not worth 145. They've got a renter in it.
And now they're locked in with the renter, so they're missing out on this perfect opportunity right now when inventory is low, buyers are out.
And they know
that. And that's why, you know, you just feel horrible. And you wish you could.
The only thing we can do is start at the beginning and do it right the next time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And absolutely. I think that by coming in, staying under 1.5, then really promoting and getting people in, we might make it back up to 1.6 while we get pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? So, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got it. What do we got?
How about
today? Let's go take some calls.
All right, now we're gonna take some voicemails from some listeners.
I'm very voice just dropped. Okay,
I'm nervous.
Hello, I'm calling in. I'm a listener here. I'm just wondering, escalation clauses. Are you against them? I don't understand. Why is one better for the seller and one better for the buyer? Please answer me. Thank you.
Escalations. Why is one better for the seller?
Escalation clause.
Easy.
That's it. If you allow, you guys could do this, but if you allow an escalation clause, it allows a buyer to sneak up on that final number.
By $5,000. So you're going to end up, I'll be $5,000 above Morgan, when really my max could be $100,000 over Morgan. Yeah. So if I'm a buyer's agent, that's fantastic
for
me.
Great.
Because then I'm saving my buyers $95,000. If you're a listing agent,
we're
representing buyers.
You want $100,000.
Yeah. Put in that escalation. I mean, I've had conversations with agents calling back, being like, good news, you only have to pay this. It's like, cool. That is good news for us. They would have paid $50,000 more.
I literally shunned you on our paper that a cap was.
Yes.
So. And it's happened multiple times where you have a house on for one price, the contractor would come in with an escalation clause and say, I'll go higher than the next offer. There is no other offer.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, sometimes, I need your highest and best offer by Monday.
But we tell everyone that.
It just adds down.
It's best for sellers.
Yes. Everybody hears that.
You know, a home is worth what a buyer's willing to pay. And you want to know the highest you're willing to pay for it.
And the buyer will bump his offer $100,000 to $150,000.
Hold it. But did you guys see, I think I sent it to the group, did you see that forum where they were like, why do people use it? And then under, like, about escalations and, like, these agents where I'm like, are these literally the people that we are going to
They don't want to do the math.
Just don't think they can do the math. And they're like, you're right, it is complicated. What I do is do a spreadsheet. And then that way I can see how – it's like, you guys are idiots. Do we have that screenshot?
I got a screenshot.
All right.
But the reason why we don't do escalation clauses for a seller is a buyer will bid sometimes $100,000 to $150,000 over themselves.
Or the next best offer. I mean, that's not always the case because sometimes, you know, they will come in next to each other, but sometimes, yes, they will go.
All right. Who else is up?
Hey.
Hey, folks. Yeah, big Gary here. Wife and I are looking at a place out near Fair Lakes area. A lot going on. I'm a little concerned myself. Some of the businesses there, I'm not sure if they show this, but there was a Dick's Sporting Goods, and then the Cox Communications next to the Pinos. And wife really likes that area. I'm a little concerned given some of these businesses. I was wondering, with the Dick's, Cox, and Pinos in one area, is that a safe spot? What are some of the options there currently looking like? Thank you very much.
Is it Dicks and Cucks and Peanuts?
The audience is like, your questions. These are just going to cause it like this, and I'm for it. I just let it roll. Let it roll.
Wonderful. Next.
Oh, that's funny. No, go ahead. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Hi, my name is Donnie Baker. You see, I got a long-time listener, first-time caller. Got a rental property with an interest rate of about 7.9%. Trying to decide if it's a good time to refinance or if I shouldn't refinance and wait for the rates to go even lower. We want this thing to cash flow, and right now it's just costing us cash. When you get this, you can reach me at 989-307-3399. Thanks.
Dick's, Cox, and Pinos crushed it.
Sounds like Donnie.
Kilmer Sherbus.
He's losing money everywhere.
That is getting killed.
He's hemorrhaging
dollars. Oh, my face hurt. That's funny.
That's the question, Donnie. How do you get the 7.5% of interest rates? Jesus.
Because when you buy a house that's really close to your primary, they check the interest.
You sound like you know the buy. Oh, Kelly.
I don't know if Kelly's laughing or crying. I have to buy further than 40 miles outside your primary residence.
Oh, my God.
What I hear. The answer to that
is absolutely no, because you shouldn't buy a property you can't get to within 20 minutes. I don't believe that people should buy a house 40 miles away.
He's asking if you're interested.
He just wants to know if you should refinance now or wait for rates to come down, and rates are coming down. They're on their way. Just
so keep waiting.
Yeah, just settle down.
I'm sorry, Dad. Did you just predict something? So the answer to your question is to wait.
Oh, jeez.
Keep hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
$450 a month.
You can afford it.
We think. We don't know who Donnie Brasco is, but
yes.
All right.
Donnie's doing fine.
Yeah, Donnie's doing fine.
Are we done with Greg Brink and Marsha and Jan here?
Well, yeah, thanks.
No, I'm just thinking. It really occurs to me, like, I was watching Brady Bunch. It's like, fuck, I'm like Brady, man. I'm giving all these foul things all the time. And you're Jan or you're Jan.
Did you really just call me Jan?
I don't know which one of you is Jan or which one is Marsha.
Yeah. I don't think I really is
kind of box around.
You'd be willing to be Jan?
No. I don't think I. No one wants to be
Jan. Wasn't Marsha the hot one?
Yeah.
So everyone wants to be Marsha.
Are you Marsha?
Scobie's like, yeah, Marsha.
I know I'm Mike Brady. That's all I know. Signing off.
So if anyone has any questions and wants to call in, we're taking live voicemails. And you can leave us a voicemail at 703-996-9532. It can be serious. It can be funny. We just want to hear from you.
No dirty stuff like that last one.
Fair Lake sounds fun. She's going to Paris.
Is that 40 miles from
Where is
you know what? It is more than 40 miles. That's good. That's all right. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Let's get you here. Empty glass.
Will someone get this guy a bigger mug? Jesus.
Yeah.